Lord, thank you so much for this day, for the message of Easter, which is one of victory, your victory over death, your victory over sin, which is victory for us, because you took our sin upon you on the cross, and then you rose from the grave, promising new life for all of us, a changed life, a different life, but also eternal life. God, we seek that life this morning. We desire, we covet that life. We ask that your life would be shown through us. Help us this morning to hear your words to us. And I pray that it would take on a deeper meaning in our lives. The story of Easter would become real to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great grubs.
Yeah, that was really good. Where are we going to ride this time, honey?
I don't know. Out there.
Where are we going, Snake?
Well, I'm going to ride through this town again. Yes. See if they're ready for us this time.
Right.
I love this town. We're going to ride through it. Just you wait and see.
All right.
Well.
No.
What do we got here?
Look at the pigs.
I do believe the respectful phrase is local law enforcement. We are here to dispense a little bit of justice.
Yeah, right.
He's spitting over there, poor boy. Spit on their shoes.
All right, Dad.
Hey, you boy. That's disgusting.
Careful now. This is my deputy over here, all right? We are here to, we're here to take care of some business. Like I said, dispense some justice.
And they shoot you in the face!
I was trying to be cool here with this. You know, kind of a movie kind of sheriff, all right? Totally blew that. It's gone away for now.
So, we're not shooting?
Not now.
All right.
Not yet, anyways. Man, you kind of blew that. Come on, leader, let's go. Hey, you can't take her.
Whoa. Stop. Snake ain't done nothing wrong.
That is a double negative when we don't look kind of way on that.
Keep clean, okay?
Yeah. We're the ones that done stuff. You know, I'm the one that threw that Molotov cocktail through the Dollar Tree window.
Really?
Store tree thing. Yeah.
And I'm the one that rode up the second floor of your doggone center square.
Yeah, and I'm the one that messed up all the rhododendrons outside of the courthouse.
But now that was an accident.
Yes. No, it wasn't. I've got allergies and I just hate flowers so much.
Much as I should shoot you for that, in the face, we're actually gonna go ahead and we're gonna put that all on your leader here, all right? He's gonna go ahead and serve that term.
It's okay, guys. Never mind.
The leader's kind of responsible for you. Plus, she's been going around town making some big claims here, haven't you? What you been saying there, boy?
She's been saying that one guy's her dad.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, the mayor of this here town is my dad.
And that is a lie.
It is not a lie. It is the truth.
You know,
mayor of this town is my dad.
You know, you keep saying that, and this is what's gonna make this awful fun. Here's what we're gonna do. Normally, we just lock you up in the cell down there at the station, but we're not gonna do that. We're gonna actually take you out to the town square. First of all, we're going to give all the citizens of the town a little dip of Copenhagen. They're all going to spit on your shoes.
Oh, no.
All right.
Yuck.
We're going to tear up that leather you're wearing. All right.
Hey, don't mess with
that. When we expose that arm, we're going to give you a Hello Kitty tattoo.
Right.
In purple.
I have been practicing.
No. I'm going to let the boy do it. And the piece de resistance, which is French for piece of resistance.
We're gonna shoot you in the face!
No! We're building something here. We're gonna tear up the back.
Not the bike!
Oh.
No!
Hey, put that away. How many times do I have to tell you? He that lives by the switchblade dies by the switchblade.
My grandma used to say that.
She's right.
It's an ugly common term around here.
Hush, boy.
Sorry.
All right, now listen up. Here's what we're gonna do. Bless y'all, skedaddle. It's gonna bring you in also.
Just take off, guys.
Come on, honey. I can't ride. Go back to prison again.
All right.
Don't you assault him!
Oh, God. That's fine. That's actually really fantastic.
He's fine.
Boy, you are supposed to be helping to humiliate this one.
My ears hurt. She helped. There was.
Would you impound her bike?
Okay.
Gentle with the bike.
It's gonna be loud.
Don't ride it. Walk it in.
Okay.
Do everything. Come on. Back to the car.
God was pleased with him to make peace by sacrificing his blood on the cross, so that all beings in heaven and on earth would be brought back to God. You used to be far from God. Your thoughts made you his enemies, and you did evil things. But his son became a human and died, so God made peace with you, and now he lets you stand in his presence as people who are holy and faultless and innocent.
It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover. Pilate said to the people, "Look, here's your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him. Crucify him." "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priests shouted back. Pilate ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip and turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again, and they led him away to be crucified.
As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. As they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, the soldiers gave him wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews."
The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from 'the King of the Jews' to 'he said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "Nope. What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there.
The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He's saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from that cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself, and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. But when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit.
So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, "Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they pierced." At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead.
He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment for God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed.
So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken, then their bodies could be taken down. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him.
Nicodemus also came with about 75 pounds of spices made from myrrh and aloes. This was the same Nicodemus who had visited Jesus one night. The two men wrapped the body in a linen cloth, together with the spices, which was how the Jewish people buried their dead. In the place where Jesus had been nailed to the cross, there was a garden with a tomb that had never been used. The tomb was nearby, and since it was the time to prepare for the Sabbath, they were in a hurry to put Jesus' body there. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left.
The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and watched how Jesus' body was placed in the tomb. Then they went to prepare some sweet-smelling spices for his burial. But on the Sabbath day, they rested as the law of Moses commands.
He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave.
The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said when he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he is raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it.
And it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down, as though they were dead. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was nailed to the cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now hurry, tell his disciples that he has been raised to life and on his way to Galilee. Go there and you will see him. That is what I came to tell you."
The women were frightened and yet very happy as they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and greeted them. They went near him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." While the women were on their way, some soldiers who had been guarding the tomb went into the city. They told the chief priests everything that had happened. So the chief priests met with the leaders and decided to bribe the soldiers with a lot of money. They said to the soldiers, "Tell everyone that Jesus' disciples came during the night and stole his body while you were asleep. If the governor hears about this, we will talk to him. You won't have anything to worry about." The soldiers took the money and did what they were told. The people of Judea still tell each other this story.
That same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus came near and started walking alongside them, but they did not know who he was. Jesus asked them, "What were you talking about as you walked along?" The two of them stood there looking sad and gloomy. Then the one named Cleopas asked Jesus, "Are you the only person from Jerusalem who doesn't know what was happening there these last few days?" "What do you mean?" Jesus asked. And they answered, "Those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth. By what he did and said, he showed that he was a powerful prophet who pleased God and all the people." Then the chief priests and our leaders had him arrested and sentenced to die on a cross. We had hoped that he would be the one to set Israel free, but it has already been 3 days since all this happened. Some women in our group surprised us. They had gone to the tomb early in the morning, but did not find the body of Jesus. They came back, saying only that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some men from our group went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus either.
Then Jesus asked the two disciples, "Why can't you understand? How can you be so slow to believe all the prophets said? Didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer before he was given his glory?" Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the books of the prophets.
Jesus' 11 disciples went to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus told them to meet him. They saw him and worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came to them and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world.
For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was.
What kind of motorcycle was that, Lisa? Was it pink?
It was no
Harley. Thank you very much, drama team. That was great. It was the whole suspension of disbelief thing had to kick in there with Kathy as a biker. But I think I got through it, and I hope the rest of you did too. That was really cool. And I, you know, frankly, I think about Jesus being the leader of a biker gang, and I'm into that. I'd like to be part of that biker gang. I don't know what he'd do, but the barbecue sounds good. Well, this is, I hope you enjoyed the scripture reading. This is the story of what Jesus is all about. This is what he came to do. He came to die on the cross and be raised from the dead so that we can have life. That's what Easter is all about. It's about that celebration of God's power and God's love. And I'm really glad that you came to celebrate it with us. And I hope that you remember that message and you carry that message. Like Jesus said, go to the world. Tell people around you about this message. It's a message of hope and it's a message of life. And Easter's more than about bunnies and chicks and Easter eggs. Although the kids will really be into that anyway. But let's tell them too about what Easter is about. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Thank you that you rose from the dead. And thank you for your promise of life and power in our lives. Thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.